This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you have forgotten more than we will ever think of. You have forgiven more than we will ever do. You have shattered the cold stones encasing our hearts so you could write your name on them. Redeemer of all, we praise you. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. There's an old seminary story told. I don't know who gets credit for the truth of it, but it is told that the seminary had a buffet line for meals, and the chef had put a sign up on a big bowl of oranges and said, "Take only one orange. Jesus is watching you." At the other end of the lunch line, there was a large plate of freshly baked, steaming hot chocolate chip cookies. One of the seminarians put up a hastily written sign over the cookies that said, "Take as many cookies as you want. Jesus is busy back there watching the oranges." Those of us who have gone through seminary know that that has to be true, because there were so many times when we were just trying to find one more reason to laugh. It is not about getting all we can get out of this world, whether it's oranges or cookies or whatever else. Jesus makes it clear that the only life that's truly worth living is a life of self-giving, of giving oneself away. So the question that I'm going to leave us with to ponder as we go forth today is this: what will it take for each one of us to be willing to die to our old ways and take the next step towards a life more of self-giving? To live your life in such a way that you are dedicated even more to something bigger than yourself, that is a cause that is for the good of all people, not just some. To do such in such a way that your words are spoken in your deeds, and in such a way that people are drawn not only to you, but are also drawn to live their own life in a more selfless way. This is the life that Jesus is living. This is the life that Jesus is calling us to here today. In a few moments, we are going to use for our credo statement that great canticle from Philippians that tells us that Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. It wasn't about his own self, but rather he empties himself, taking the form of a slave. And it was thus that he humbles himself. This Gospel of John that we hear today, we've jumped now to chapter 12. And the scripture scholars usually call these first 12 chapters the Book of Signs. And we see here the closure of that particular book. In John 2, we talked about the wedding feast at Cana, and Jesus makes the statement in chapter 2, his hour had not yet come. In chapter 4 and chapter 5 of John's Gospel, three different times, Jesus says, an hour is coming, but it's not here yet. In John 7, opposition to Jesus starts to grow. And John says they tried to seize him, but they could not because his hour had not yet come. John chapter 8, as opposition grows, Jesus still goes about his work unapprehended again because his hour had not yet come. Now today, chapter 12, what do we hear John saying? And now the hour has come. We conclude the book of signs in John's gospel. Jesus has raised Lazarus to life. Jesus has been anointed as if for his own burial. He has already entered Jerusalem in triumph. And now all this anticipation, the hour has now arrived. And what does he tell us that is about? The hour is about letting that grain of wheat die, giving ourselves away. So I go back to my initial question, the challenge that Jesus gives to his disciples as he gives to us. What will it take for us to look at old ways and adapt new ways of self-giving? Sometimes it happens with a sudden change in our life status. We've had enough of grief and mourning with the unexpected loss of loved ones in our congregation. And I always go back to that particular anecdote that is related to that first reading from Jeremiah today, where God says, I will write my law on their hearts. And a woman is upset about this and goes to her pastor and says, why would God write his word on our hearts? If he loved us, wouldn't he write his word in our hearts? And the wise pastor responded, God writes his words on our hearts because when our hearts break, God's words can fall in. It is that time very much when we have loss that we realize the bigger picture, that it's not just about us. There was a man in Central America over 40 years ago. He was made to be the bishop, and he was thought to be very conservative, and so the government and everyone thought it's going to be status quo. Until the time came when one of his friends, who was seeing how much oppression was happening, especially to the poor in the country, started to try to help the poor and started to try to call attention to the mistreatment that was going on. And Rutilio Grande was shot dead. This particular man, who was his best friend, had that time when the thing that he needed, what will it take to change, that changed him. His name was Oscar Romero. He is now a canonized saint in the Roman Catholic Church. Because of what happened to his friend, he too became an advocate for the poor. And on the day before he died, with the soldiers sitting in his pews, he pleaded with them, "Don't obey the government orders. Do not hurt or kill these people. It is not right." And the next day, shortly after Oscar Romero had preached on this very gospel, and in that short sermon, I quote, he said, "You have just heard in the gospel of Christ that one must not love oneself so much as to avoid getting involved in the risks of life that history demands of us, and that those who try to fend off the danger will lose their lives. But whoever, out of love for Christ, gives himself to the service of others will live. Like the grain of wheat that dies, only in undoing itself, it does produce the harvest." It was shortly thereafter, at the altar, he was shot dead. He became a hero to the people of El Salvador. He became a hero to all who hold Jesus as the one to follow, unless a grain of wheat die. I don't know that any of us will be called to such witness. But in his preaching, many times before that fateful day, he re-echoed the theme of what Jesus talks about in John chapter 12. Another time, a year before, he said this, "Christ is saying to each one of us, if you want your life and mission to be fruitful like mine, do as I have. Be converted into grain that is buried. Let yourself be killed. Don't be afraid. The one who avoids suffering will end up alone. There is no one more alone than selfish people. But if, out of love for others, you give your life for others, like I am going to give mine, you will have an abundant harvest. You will, in the end, experience the greatest satisfaction." Eugene Peterson, who did a paraphrase of the scriptures in his work called The Message, translates these particular lines of scripture in a very special way. This is what he says for John chapter 12. "Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go reckless in love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. If you let it go reckless in love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal." Why did those Greeks want to come to Jesus? It is just that. It wasn't about those like the Nicodemuses at the beginning of their search, that there was something that interested them. They saw that there was this man who said these things about loving, giving, not being concerned about yourself. And they saw that he was matching those words with his life. And so they didn't just want to hear about him. Sure, they had heard about Lazarus and all these other things, the miracle at Cana. They wanted to see him. And in so doing, have that same opportunity to start giving their own self away. It's a call for us. Again, hopefully none of us will be called to give our life away physically, but each and every day we are called to look at the ways in which God is calling us to make it a little bit less about me and a lot more about others. John Wesley had a rule of conduct that I think is an appropriate thing for us to end this reflection with. He writes, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." Amen.